This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yo, it is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm James Seltzer. It is August the 17th as I come to you after a whirlwind of a day yesterday, a day that you won't see very often where the Phillies get outscored by 20 runs in a game and yet still gain ground in the National League East. It was a crazy day. I saw Joe Giglio tweet that basically out last night. It's just crazy to think about as the Phillies, what a day. A doubleheader yesterday with the Mets. We come in off of the just awesome, you know, series clincher, their series last game against the Red Sox, the 7-4 win after the frustrating loss the night before as they split with the Red Sox on the season series, outscore them in four games, and ultimately just go toe-to-toe with a team that's 50 games over 500. Again, 50 games over 500, and this Phillies team went toe-to-toe with them, and you come into yesterday's doubleheader against a, for lack of a better word, atrocious Mets baseball team, and you feel good about coming in. And look, ultimately, I think any day when you get a doubleheader, you have to go into it saying, I need to win one of two. You can't expect to sweep a doubleheader. There are so many variables, especially with having to tax bullpens and players being tired and all that type of stuff. So you always want to win two, obviously, but at the same time, if you split, you feel good about it. It just didn't feel good at first in this one as we come in with all the excitement coming in against the Mets and Ranger Suarez coming up from the minors to make this start in game one. Corey Oswalt on the hill for the Mets. You feel good going up against Corey Oswalt, and yet it did not go good at all as the Phillies fall 24-4. 24-4, just a abysmal, atrocious, terrible game as luckily for the Phillies, it was only broadcast on Facebook, so a lot of people didn't get to see this disaster of an outing. Mark Leiter somehow gave up 7 runs with none of them being earned. That's the kind of thing Jason Stark's going to put in his useless information department article when the next time he does one. I mean, that is such a ridiculous number. I don't know if I've ever seen, I'm sure it's happened, but I don't know if I've ever seen 7 runs allowed and none of them earned by a pitcher. And then, of course, Scott Kingery and Roman Quinn come in and pitch, and they get murdered. Scott Kingery basically throwing slow-pitch softball with a baseball in a Major League Baseball game in that game. We're going to get to that because that caused some consternation, but the Phillies ultimately end up falling 24-4. However, in Game 2, they come back. They bounce back. They win it 9-6. They're up 9-4 heading into the ninth. A couple struggles there, but ultimately they close it out. So ultimately, and we're going to dive into both these games, but ultimately the Phillies come out of the day with the split that you went into the day hoping to get. And thanks to those Colorado Rockies, those plucky Rockies out there in Colorado, the Braves fall last night 5-3, up 3-2 heading into the ninth. The Rockies put up a 3 spot in the ninth, end up closing it out. Wade Davis, the saves, the Phillies win 5-3, or excuse me, the Rockies win 5-3, but the Phillies win because of it, as they ultimately creep to a game and a half back of the Atlanta Braves. The Washington Nationals did the Phillies a favor as well by beating the Cardinals yesterday. So the Phillies now tied with the Brewers in the top spot for the wild card with the Cardinals a game and a half back, the Rockies 2 back, and the Dodgers 2.5 back. Hilarious there with the Dodgers, huh? That team that went out and made the moves and paid for Manny Machado, and yet 2.5 back right now, starting to fade. We'll see how that plays out. But ultimately, I think it's one of the great things about baseball. It is such a unique sport in that you can play 2 games in a day. You can lose 24-4, a New York Mets franchise record amount of runs, and you can come back in the next game and win it 9-6, and it all cancels out. You won one, you lost one. That's all that matters at the end of the day. And that's what's so fun about baseball. And also really has been endemic of this team all season, a team that has suffered some really low lows at times, as we've talked about. You know, obviously the Hector Neris blowups, the grand slam against the Cubs in the bottom of the ninth, so on and so forth. The, you know, with the 13 inning loss to the Red Sox, the game one loss to the Red Sox this time around after being in a rut and playing a good baseball game against a great team. And yet every time this team picks himself back up and they go back out there and they get the job done, and trailing 2-0 after the first inning of game two yet again last night, and they just immediately battle back, and that was all she wrote. So again, while I can understand, look, a 24-4 loss is frustrating. No one likes to see that. It's not a fun thing to watch. It's not a fun thing to have happen to your team. It's demoralizing. But when they come back in the next game and win 9-6, what are we talking about here? So, and let's dive into that. As again, right now, the Phillies sitting at 67-54 in the season, a game and a half back of the Braves in the NL East, 1.5 up on the rest of the wild card competition, tied with the Brewers there. But that 24-4 loss seemed to strike a chord with people. And it seemed to be, and look, again, I get it. 24-4 is ugly and embarrassing, and no matter what, you don't feel good about it. But people lost their minds about this game. First and foremost, you know, they got a couple home runs in the game. Reese Hoskins, Nick Williams, Alfaro home run, hit homers. Hoskins homer, went homer again in the second game. We'll get to that. But other than that, obviously, just a disaster across the board. A bad start from Ranger Suarez. He gives up 8 runs. Mark Leiter, the 7 unearned runs. Roman Quinn gave up 7 runs. Scott Kingery came in and threw, literally was throwing like 65-mile-per-hour Ephus pitches up to the plate. And here's the thing. People got really angry about this. And Twitter and social media and the announcers, for the most part, especially on the radio broadcast, everyone lost their minds. Everyone, I saw the term embarrassment and stuff like that. Now, it's embarrassing for the team, for the players to lose like that, but I heard embarrassment and things like that for throwing out there Scott Kingery and letting him pitch. And here's the thing. I don't get it. In that spot, when the Phillies had already given up a 10-run fifth inning or whatever it was, and the game is over. You know, you're down 16-4. You're down 11-4, then 16-4. What's the difference? Why wouldn't you throw a starting position player out there instead of a pitcher when you have a whole game of another doubleheader to go out there? What if you're starting pitcher, and luckily Eflin was able to give him 6 2/3, but what if Eflin goes out and struggles and you got to go to your bullpen and you just wasted guys in a 20-run game? And ultimately, yeah, it wouldn't have been 20 runs if the starting players hadn't come in, the position players, but in a 12-run game, what's the upside of that? People seem to be really upset about this. And look, I am flummoxed. I don't understand it, because in my mind, when you're looking at that situation, when it is a doubleheader to be played and your game is lost, and that's, again, one of the weird things about baseball, going back to how strange baseball can be at times, but sometimes, and it is, you know, we don't really talk about it like this, but sometimes there are situations where managers will, for all intents and purposes, concede a game. They'll say, hey, you know what? We're down 10 runs right now. We're not going to win this. I'm going to get guys work. I'm going to bring in guys who, you know, I'm going to use this as a developmental thing. I'm going to use this as whatever. We see it all the time. It happens 100 times a season, probably more. That's the way baseball is, because of the grind of the sport. You have to play this game 162 times a year in like 180 days or whatever it is, you know, and a crazy number. It's every night. It is such a grind. And in certain situations, especially with these relief pitchers who are going out and throwing these max effort type pitches and using their arms and all that, sometimes you have to say, all right, I'm not going to put it. And we see it a lot, obviously. I'm not going to put in the guy who's the best for this, for the best pitcher right now, or the best guy who can help us, but I'm going to put in a guy because we're probably going to lose this game and I have to play the numbers and save a guy for a game that could matter. And I know that sounds strange and it sounds like defeatist or whatever you want to say, but at the same time, that's the way the sport is. And I thought that that was a masterful, and masterful maybe strong because, you know, let's not get carried away. But I thought it was a really good move by Kapler to go to position players there. You're not winning that game. You need your bullpen for the next game. It played out. You needed Arano there. You needed Sir Anthony ultimately. You needed guys. And it just, it doesn't make any sense to me, especially when you're playing 5 games in 4 days. You got 3 more games to go. You're coming off playing 3 games with no rest before that. So, or excuse me, 2 games before that with no rest. You're essentially playing 7 games in 6 days. Your bullpen is going to be taxed, especially yet again, when that game that they won on Wednesday was a game where Vincent Velasquez only gave him 2 1/3 innings. So the bullpen had to be worked a ton there. So I actually think it would have been malpractice for Kapler to waste a reliever in that spot, not knowing what could happen in game two with the other games to come up. I couldn't believe how upset people were. And I saw some people saying, well, put in a better position player pitcher. We're splitting hairs here, right? You know, I know that Scott Kingery sucked out there. He was clearly, I probably could have thrown harder than Scott Kingery. Probably not, but not that far off. He really was just kind of lobbing it up there. So, sure, I get it, you know. But listen, they don't have a Wilson Valdez on this team. They don't have a guy who can go on. Pedro Florimon looked all right when he pitched before, but he's hurt right now. You know, you can't just have anyone go out there and just say, hey, go pitch. They need to at least be able to step up on the mound and have some idea what they're doing, at least a little bit. And, you know, maybe Scott Kingery was the right guy there. Look, he did better than Gwynn. And either way, I just think I think it's such a nitpicky thing to get upset about. Again, we talked about this yesterday, the day before, where it seems like a lot of people are just looking for ways to get upset with this team or to get upset with Kapler. And I can't find any, look, get upset with the team because they lost 24-4. All about that, because that was a brutal game. And ultimately, look, they split. So how upset can you be? If they had lost both, then it's a lot tougher to handle. But they split. But yeah, you never like a 24-4 loss. I'm sure none of the guys on that squad felt good about it. But at a certain point, what's the difference between a 10-4 loss and a 24-4 loss? Or a 12-4 loss and a 24-4? Like, yeah, sure, your run differential is different. All right. It sucks for your fans and the people covering the game who have to watch it. Sure. But it's still just a loss. It only counts as one. There's no tiebreakers in baseball. There's no, you know, run differential doesn't matter. It's only used to assess how good a team is or not. They're going to play a tiebreaker game anyway. So ultimately, I think that in that situation, and maybe because it was just so ugly and 20-run loss and franchise record runs to the Mets and Scott Kingery looking just like he had never thrown a baseball from the mound to home plate before. But I think because of all that, maybe it came off as so much worse for people. But I thought the reaction to the whole situation was so overblown. They lost the game. They got their asses beat 24-4. Sure. But again, it didn't matter. They came back and won the next game. They won it 9-6. So I just thought the outrage for that was really, really over the top. And again, game two, 9-6 victory. The bullpen made a little scary at the end, but they're not that close. Although Sir Anthony did have to strike a couple guys out back to back. But Garcia pitched well, Arano pitched well. Yaxel Rios ran into some trouble in the ninth, but Sir Anthony comes in with one out first and third. Allows an RBI single to make it 9-6 and then just shuts it down. 2 straight strikeouts. One of them, Wilmer Flores, Mr. Walk-off home run guy. So just a much, much, much better game all around. Hoskins homered again. So homers in both games. Scott Kingery went yard. I almost forgot what that looked like. Roman Quinn stole a couple bases. And how about Mr. Philadelphia, Wilson Ramos, goes 3-for-5 with an RBI. That dude is so everything right now. He's my favorite player at the moment. It's so fun to have such a great hitter at the catcher position right now. And then Eflin, as we said before, Eflin goes 6 2/3, 4 runs, not his best outing, but did a good job of conserving the pen. You know, he looked like if he had gotten out after the six, he would have, after the six before the seventh, he would have finished with a better line, only 2 runs and kind of struggled towards the end there, but ultimately gives them enough, gets the win. The team gets the win and they bounce back and get the job done after one of the ugliest losses of the season. And yet again, it's almost like a broken record. It is a theme. It is a hallmark. It is whatever of this team that they're always going to fight. They're always going to battle back. And for such a young team with a brand new manager and an unexpected kind of run, it's really, really impressive to see their resiliency and to see how quickly they bounce back from tough losses and tough stretches. You know, that's the type of stuff that usually can crater a young team, that can usually cause it to snowball. And it just has not happened with this Phillies team. And that is something to be celebrated. And yet again, we saw it yesterday. Sure, 24-4 sucked, but they bounced back and they killed it and won the second game. And now they're a game and a half back. They gained ground yesterday. So coming up, a couple roster moves from yesterday to touch on, and the resolution on both sides of the Ronald Acuña, Jose Urena situation, which I ranted on yesterday. And then we will look ahead to the weekend as the three more with the Mets, a fun one on Sunday too. We'll get to all that coming up and more. It's Phillies Today. James Seltzer, we're coming right back. We are back, Phillies Today, James Seltzer, as we look ahead to a big weekend of baseball coming up as the Phillies again a game and a half back of the Braves at 67-54. They have now surpassed their win total from last season with the win yesterday in the second game of the doubleheader. That is amazing. It is August the 17th, all last season, a month and 2 weeks left of the season, 6 weeks almost or whatever, 5.5 weeks of the season left. And they've already surpassed their win total from last year. So I said it yesterday, but this season is a success no matter what. And now I hope they go out and win some playoff games, but no matter what, it's a success. So a couple roster moves yesterday, as I mentioned before, Yaxel Rios came up, Mark Leiter Jr. back up as Aaron Loop and Austin Davis go to the DL. Hopefully those guys will be back soon. I think, look, they've been doing some roster maneuvering, some shuffling with the pen, trying to get these guys in and out and get some rest. For certain guys, I think you'll see Loop and Davis back. Both have performed well, and they do need those lefties in the pen. Maybe the Phillies looking at the stretch of baseball coming up here and saying, all right, we can afford to get by without a few lefties more than normal. The Mets are a very predominantly right-handed hitting team, among others. So as are the Nats coming up after that. Nats have some big lefties, actually, with Soto and Harper and Murphy, but and Eaton, actually. So more just the Mets, so maybe we'll see some moves after the weekend. But nice to see Rios come up, even though he didn't have a great outing last time. I do like watching that dude compete. And Mark Leiter Jr., I'm good. You can go back down. Yesterday again, 7 unearned runs, but did not pitch well. So, Phillies roster taking a nice shape, as we talked about yesterday. And again, I think the biggest example of that is the Wilson Ramos move, as the man has come in here and taken Philly by storm with his first two outings, 3-for-4 with 3 doubles and a triple in his first game, and then 3-for-5 yesterday in his second outing, the second game of the doubleheader. So he is now 6-for-9 as a Philadelphia Philly with 4 doubles and a triple and 4 RBIs and a couple of runs. So he's been awesome, awesome, awesome. And again, shout out to Matt Klentak. Matt Klentak got Wilson Ramos for cash. The final details of the trade were announced for sure today. That the Rays decided to take cash, not even a minor league player. So the Phillies basically paid the Rays for Wilson Ramos. For this dude, who is clearly going to make a difference. The team is 2-0 with him in the lineup, for what it's worth, too. Wilson Ramos is going to make a difference for this team. He's already making a difference. You can see it. If he stays healthy, he will be a factor over the stretch run. And they got him for nothing, for cash. Matt Klentak, and now we've talked a ton on this show about how Kapler has been criminally criticized in terms of how good he has done and what he has done for this team, and the lack of willingness for people to get on board with that. But Klentak, too, it seems like a lot of people have been really critical of Klentak, especially when he can go out and get Manny Machado, even though he was right there and right there in the finals and the bidding, and ultimately, I think, showed some real restraint and intelligence to not give it up for rental, and ultimately goes out and makes moves that fortify this team. Justin Bour looks like a really nice addition, and they got him for nothing. Esteban Cabrera has already shown us he's certainly a better hitter than Scott Kingery. A nice addition. Has played good defense, too, since he's been here. And they got him for a fine prospect, a B-minus, C-plus prospect. And then they got Wilson Ramos for literally nothing, for money. No effect on the future of the roster or anything like that. It's crazy. We've seen it. Watching Wilson Ramos again, he's 6-for-9. And he's been awesome. So just again, I think Glenn Dyck and Gabler both deserve so much more credit than they've been getting. And I hope that as the season plays out, however it plays out, that ultimately people step back and look at the roster that Klentak put together and the moves he made in season without giving up anything for the future to fortify that roster, and then what Kapler's done with that roster. So I just, and I'm sure we'll talk about it a lot from now until the end of the season and beyond, but for me at least, I think the early returns on both of those guys are incredibly positive, and you should feel very good about them being the stewards of this franchise along with Andy McPhail. All right, before we look ahead to this weekend, a quick note, the Ronald Acuna, Jose Urena situation seems to have come to a conclusion one way or the other. The good news, and again, obviously it's not the best news for the Phillies, but it's the good news in this situation because you don't want to see anyone go down like this, as Ronald Acuna is okay, and he played last night back in leadoff spot, so that is great to hear. 20-year-old phenom, a great thing for the sport. He's going to be a thorn in our side for years, but he's fun to watch, and he's a terrific, awesome baseball player, and he's good for the sport. And on the flip side, if you listened to the show yesterday, I ranted, probably a little too out of control about this Jose Urena thing, and I said, I honestly believe, and I'm usually not one for hot takes in these situations, but with the intent, the fact that he threw the hardest pitch of the season he's thrown, and the way he went about it and all that, and throwing up and in on Acuna and hitting him because the kid hit some home runs because he was better than you, because he beat your team, it made me so angry. I honestly believe that Jose Urena should have been suspended for the rest of the season. 40 games, whatever. Look, it's, what, 5 starts for you know, 6 starts or whatever it is, maybe more. A few more 7 starts, but like, I think that's fair. I think, 8 starts, whatever it is, regardless, that was outrageous, and it was gutless, and it was a bad image for this game to portray and a bad precedent to set. And I thought he should have been suspended for the season. Yet, Major League Baseball comes down with a BS 6-game suspension for Jose Urena. Ooh, one more than 5. Like the normal 5. Get out of here. It is so weak. Such weak sauce. You've done nothing to say that that type of action is not okay. Nothing. 0. You're suspending the guy for 1 start and he can just move back a day or whatever. It's a joke. It's an outrageous joke for a starting pitcher to get suspended 6 games for that. I very disappointed in Major League Baseball here. I really am. I thought, if nothing else, bring the hammer down a little bit. Suspend him 20 games. Suspend him 15 games. Do something. Set a precedent. Don't just give this BS response. Look, unwritten rules or not, that was not okay what that dude did. And you shouldn't allow people to be able to go after stars of your game because they beat somebody. I thought it was outrageous. I'm very disappointed in Major League Baseball. All right. I am not disappointed in this Phillies team as they bounced back yesterday. Big series coming up this weekend against, as we saw yesterday in that first game, a Mets team that continues to give them trouble, it seems like. They are not very adept at handling this Mets team. Ultimately, some serious pitching matchups this weekend, too, as Aaron Nola tonight against Noah Syndergaard. That is a can't-miss, must-watch type pitching matchup. Same thing Saturday, Jake Arrieta against Jacob deGrom. DeGrom, one of the front-runners, if not the front-runner for the Cy Young. And Arrieta, of course, a rough start last time, but has been great otherwise and in big spots, which this will be one as they, every game now, really a big game for this team during the stretch run and how close the division and the wild card and all that is. And then a real fun one on Sunday as the Phillies will play in Williamsport, the Little League World Series on ESPN, the Sunday night game. I think a 7:10 starts a little earlier, but Nick Pivetta against Jason Vargas in that one. That is a fun one. It'll be cool to see the Phillies play there. It'll be a cool, I'm happy. It's cool that they're playing a major league game there, and I'm happy it's the Phillies because that's a really unique, cool experience to see your team play there and see how it all kind of plays out with the little league teams and the whole situation. I'm really excited for that one, and it'll be good to see Pivetta, who's been awesome his last few times out. So a nice matchup there. So 2 of 3 this weekend. That's what we need. Take 3 of 5 in the series, win the series and move forward. And the Nationals and the Blue Jays after that. So a Nationals team that's fading. So You got to feel good. Look, I know the first party yesterday sucked, but they ultimately won out on the second one and gained ground. And it's good to be a Phillies fan right now. So we'll be back Monday. We'll break down the weekend of action. Hopefully a good weekend of action. Until then, keep it here. We got you covered all day long right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.